about to go somewhere odd now. Time's horizon, elevation starts to drop down. A little secret, don't kiss and tell, you're so bad. I'll probably see you in hell. Welcome to hell, baby. This is podcast hell.
Okay, welcome to the podcast.
Oh,
yeah.
We're starting.
No, you guys can finish up Wordle.
What's up? We're not doing Wordle. We're doing the crossword mini. Times mini.
Okay. Well, either way, don't do that anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, just go ahead and stop so we can get the podcast rolling here. Just how are you guys doing?
I'm good.
Good?
We're good.
Liz, good to be.
I wasn't ready to go.
Oh, well.
We just kind of jumped into it. But yeah, hi, I'm here now. Hello.
Yeah, we're here. We're going.
I wasn't on yet.
Eric is, my mom, when she gets ready to go somewhere, we're like a late family. She's always late. And she will take her sweet time. We'll be an hour late. We'll be already waiting in the kitchen for her. And then she'll come out fully dressed. And we've been sitting there for an hour. And she'll go, are we going or what? And that's Eric. That's how Eric started this podcast.
That's exactly how he started this podcast.
No, I mean, we said we were getting ready. I came in hot.
Normally, you give like, all right, we're rolling. How you guys feeling?
That's not how I don't like that. I don't like getting people all preppy so they can like kind of get their.
I want you to know how he normally starts the podcast. He's keeping the audience on their toes.
Well, how about let me tell you what I did to get you back on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Is I chose a moment where you didn't have enough time to prepare a list. I didn't want a list for this third
ambush.
Time. So you just get to hang out.
I bet she could come up with a list right
now.
But
here's the point.
I got lists.
But here's the thing. Don't do the list. Just like hang. Just hang. We'll have a good time.
That's not her style.
Eric, even when we just hang out casually, I always bring a list.
Well, here's the thing. the point of this show, and this is we can't blow the surprise for the people out there, but as that sign says right in front of us, it says mystery guest, question mark.
So
there is a mystery guest coming on the show any minute now.
Whoa. Listen, I'll be so shocked when they arrive.
I wonder who
it could be.
Who could it be?
We don't know.
Nobody knows.
Mystery. Do you know how to spell mystery without looking at your sign?
M-Y-S-T-E-R-Y.
Very good.
Mystery.
How do you know that?
Nailed it.
You asked me to spell something the other day, and you asked me to spell crescendo.
Crescendo.
Wait, can I try?
I did it.
Yeah, try it.
C-R-E-S-C-E-N-D-O.
Nailed it.
That's right.
I would have added an H.
You would have put a S-H.
Crescendo.
Like a crescendo.
Yeah, like it's a Latin
crescendo.
Lover.
Crescendo, yeah.
Crescendo. Crescendo came over. I made love to crescendo all night.
Quarter Mexican in you.
Are you giving me, you're trying to lay cover for me to do a Mexican accent? Is that what you're doing? It's fine.
What
even if
life.
I was a whitey.
He's
I would,
allowed.
I'm allowed to do a Mexican
this
voice.
Is
I'm about. I'm also allowed to go, holy frijoles, whenever
I'm. And that's good for you.
I'm a quarter Mexican.
What does frijoles mean?
I know.
Frijoles.
I know you know.
No, let's see if you know, because I know.
What does it mean, Eric?
What is frijoles?
You said it.
And I'll say mine.
You said jole frijoles.
Yes.
And what does it mean?
I think frijoles means your asshole.
Oh, no.
I mean beans.
Beans is correct.
Yeah, holy beans. Holy beans. I remember my dad, when I was taking German in high school, I was like, I thought I was being cool. He was like, you want to know how to curse in German? Say Zucker. It means sugar. But I walked around being like Zucker in German class, thinking I was being cool.
That's very cool.
So everybody, you were just saying sugar.
No, my dad's being
what's
a fucking.
What's going on, sugar?
No, you just seemed gay in German.
Which is, if my dad intended.
Sugar.
I'm going to say this. If my dad intended it to make me seem gay, it's funnier. He's like, I'm going to make my son gay.
I actually love German.
I love that.
Do you know what my favorite German word is? I've never talked about this. Unmachemasse.
What does that mean?
Do you know?
No, what does that mean?
Unmachmasse.
I'm probably
Unmachmasse.
Which is master watchmaker. Because Macher is maker.
Macher.
Masse is master. And un, I guess, is watch.
What is Masse? Can I try that one more time?
Master watchmaker. Master.
Yeah, I know.
What did I say?
No, it's we can go past it.
Oh, because I said, I understand.
You know what you did. You know what you did.
I was speaking German.
Of course.
I'm being historically insensitive. I was speaking German.
It's all good. You're at a safe place here. You can say whatever you want.
I'm not in a safe place. I'm never safe here. I like that the streets are called Strasse.
Strasse.
Walking along the Strasse. You guys keep talking. I'm going to check something real quick.
Oh, God. Okay. But you look at signs in German-speaking countries, and you're like, oh, I understand why, like, American English is a Germanic language.
Yes.
You're like, I understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, words.
Yeah, I naturally understand. This is, we're very intelligent.
We are.
I think we are intelligent.
Stop and wait for me to come back to the mic.
I'm just mad at you for historical insensitivity and calling me out, you big
me. Yeah, I wasn't calling you out to be mean. It was funny.
Yeah.
To be like, you know what massa means? I was like, yeah, I have an idea what it means.
Oh, my God.
I think I know what that could mean. It's all right. Thanks for coming on the podcast. When I asked you to come on the podcast, we were hanging out.
We just celebrated Meredith's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes, thank you so much.
We were going to go flying falcons. Do you want to tell the people?
Yeah, we were going to hang out with a falconer and fly birds because I'm obsessed with predatory birds.
Can we revisit the conversation we had at the table about what this falconer said because it was raining?
Yeah. So it was raining today, and so the falconer canceled because he said that the falcons can't fly in the rain. And Eric had thoughts on that clearly he wants to say on pod.
Yeah, well, it makes me mad because I don't like when people launder their shit through their dog. Or their animal.
Okay.
I believe him. I believe the man that raises birds professionally they shouldn't be out there in the rain turning their tricks.
What about falcons in the real world when they have to go hunt in the rain? What do? They're probably starve.
Like Gordon, like in the rain. He goes out, he pees real quick, he comes back. They probably burrow in their trees and then they go out, they get the first thing that they can eat, and then they come back.
Yeah.
Or they're fine at flying in the rain, but like having people come there to fly them that they're not comfortable with isn't ideal. And he could peck your eyes out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think falcons are exactly the same in the rain or in the sunshine. And I think this guy didn't want to be in the rain.
Sure.
I don't know why you're defending the falconer. He's not watching.
I didn't defend. Liz defended the falconer.
I did.
Why are you defending him?
Because I trust the man that does this professionally.
You know this man.
I know that he does falcon stuff professionally, which is, he knows more about falcons than I do.
I don't know anything about falcons. We don't have to because there's a no Googling podcast.
There's no Googling
rule on this podcast, but I can almost guarantee if we Google it, falcons can soar in the rain.
I'm sure that they can hunt in the rain because they need that for their survival. What they don't need for their survival is to land on Meredith's arm for her birthday.
Well, I know, but just say like.
And so they probably don't want to. Go. No.
Here's the real problem, Eric. What happened is that you were so funny when you said this at lunch, and you wanted to say it on pod, and now you're bringing it up on pod. And Liz knows that that's what you want. She knows it, and so she's
trying to undercut me.
She's not undercutting you. She's bringing you back down to earth. Well, you're trying to relieve your glory.
I don't need to, it. Doesn't look.
I didn't poke holes in it at dinner. I let you entertain, and now we're in our own home.
It doesn't need to be funny. This is what I think. And it's a real thought, ladies. I don't know why I'm...
Too much stank on ladies. That was too much. That felt hurtful.
Perfect amount for how this conversation's
going.
That was
hard L ladies.
That was ladies. But listen, if the guy
direct
just been,
eye contact.
If the guy had just been like, hey, we're not doing it today. It's raining. That would have been fine.
Yeah.
He said falcons can't fly in the rain.
All right, look. I don't know if he said falcons can't fly in the rain. He was talking to Rob. And I don't know what the actual wording was. And I said falcons can't fly in the rain.
Well, now the truth comes out. You're the one that said it. And the guy probably didn't say that. He probably just said, we don't do it when it's raining. God damn it, Meredith. Well, what the fuck? At least it worked at lunch. You know this about me. I did crush at lunch. That was the reason I wanted to say it.
I know. You said, let's revisit something that happened at lunch that we already saw.
Yeah, because it was funny.
No, because I know this about you. You do this all the time. You're like, I crush. I crushed before. Yeah. Can we discuss that topic again?
Yes.
I crushed before and I'll crush again. Yes.
And it was very funny at lunch.
All right, well here's the thing, you saying it was very funny at lunch is meant to humiliate me now.
It is,
because now,
but is that why you invited us over to this pod? Because you were like, just I'm gonna say that falcon thing.
Story.
Oh my god.
Gang up on Eric.
When is the mystery guest coming back? Mystery guest, please. Even out the score.
Oh, is the mystery guest not a lady?
Three ladies on the podcast? No fucking way. It's a dude. No fucking way. I'm not gonna outnumber myself like that.
You're already outnumbered.
I'm already outnumbered.
Yeah, you're currently outnumbered.
I'm a defensive person. I don't think I can handle being outnumbered 3-1. You know, that would not be.
I have a feeling when mystery guest comes, you'll still be outnumbered on opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. And then you're gonna.
And then I'll switch over to his side. Because I like to be on the losing side.
Yeah.
what is that? Why do you like
you
to
do
be?
It too?
You do it too. You guys are the same about? Person.
Yeah, it's true. No, but I'm looking into the mirror when I ask this.
Okay. Here's why I do it. First of all.
We also dress the same.
I want to show the audience my incredible swag. I'm wearing all the Death Live swag. Good to pull the microphone away from my face when I'm on a pod. Yeah. What did I say? What are we talking about?
No, hold it closer. They want to hear your tonsils clicking.
Why? With all the foot dust on the microphone.
Foot dust was an issue.
Yeah, foot dust was an issue with the microphone cover, but it's fine. Wait, what am I supposed to tell you? Oh, why we are the way we are.
Why are contrarian?
First of all, it's hilarious.
It is funny.
Second of all, like when I don't have the skin in the game out of an argument, which is most arguments, most people take a side on something that's fucking bullshit. Who gives a crap? Yeah. And it's so funny to fight with them when it's about something stupid.
Hey guys.
What was that?
You're off camera.
What are you doing here?
I was in the area and I had my bike on me, so I thought maybe I'd stop by and
that's great.
Have a seat.
That's great. They can't hear any of that until you plug in the the XRL cord.
Okay, great.
Do you have the cord?
How unexpected.
Do I buy a cord too?
You didn't get a cord?
No.
You're kidding, Eric.
You can't be on the show.
Eric.
No, what the fuck are we going to do with the
mic? Rob,
I said the cord.
Rob specifically said, you need me to buy a cord, and you said, just the microphone. I heard it. He asked you multiple times, do you need me to get a cord? And you said, no, just the microphone. It happened. It was multiple times.
I mean,
oh my God. Rob, you're just sharing the mic with
Rob,
me.
Rob, you go back to Guitar
just
Center?
Just sit here and share the mic with
oh,
me.
Oh, man. Okay? That's funny.
Do you want to check levels again since now the mic is further away from our faces, or I'll just yell?
Maybe turn your mic up a little. Well, you're fine. You're fine.
Turn our mic up. What number are we?
What kind of mic did he get?
You don't have an extra cord anywhere?
My God.
I really don't have an extra cord anywhere.
He got the wrong mic. You wouldn't tell him what kind of mic to get.
No. This is the right mic. It's the right mic. There's just no cord.
Wow.
Rob's pissed.
Well, Rob, it's so unexpected that you're here.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
How you doing, Rob? Rob's going to look for some cords.
Oh, my fucking God.
This is what's going to happen. Me and Rob haven't yelled at each other in a little while, but that might be coming right after the podcast.
Before you got here, Eric said, I can't wait for the mystery guest to get here so that I won't be outnumbered anymore by the ladies. And we said, there's no chance that mystery guest isn't siding with the ladies. So, or against Eric at the very least.
Yeah.
Oh, putting an arm up. We're doing a whole thing.
Yeah, what's the purpose? Oh, it's smart to put
the
arm up.
So you just put the arm up and then angle the mic towards you guys. And then you're just talking. There we go.
Okay.
Look at this problem solving. Thank you, Rob.
Good job, Rob. That out.
Perfect.
All right. So we're all here.
Now you guys look like 1940s radio singers. Do a little jingle.
Mr. Sandman.
Sandman.
I stopped so that you wouldn't get copyrighted.
Rob used to have a very funny bit about an old 1940s announcer. You
still
remember?
Does that
I still do the radio.
The radio guy.
Yeah, I still do that.
Yeah.
It's an all-time Rob bit.
Thank you.
We will sometimes
quote your bits.
Your bits to each other.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's very nice. We quote your bit all the time. We do quote the boy.
Boy, oh boy.
That's a lot of boys.
Boy, oh boy. That's a lot of boys.
Also, whenever I see a pigeon, I just go, Liz's pigeon bit. I don't even call it a bit. I just go, Liz's pigeon bit.
That's good.
Good save, Meredith.
Can't stop quoting the old Liz pigeon bit. I do love the Liz pigeon bit.
I know you do. You can't have it.
I can't. I don't want it.
Okay.
It's yours.
You've asked for it.
I wanted it for one time. One time I asked for it. And Liz hasn't let me live it down.
Yeah.
I'm a joke thief in the eyes of my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it was. We were driving to LA. I did it on a show.
You did it on a show.
I asked your permission. I said, can I try that joke on the show just see if it works?
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you going to use that? And then she was like, yeah. But you've done, how many times did you say you've done the pigeon joke on stage since then?
A dozen.
Dozen times? You think you've really done it a dozen times? Are you including open mics?
Yeah.
Don't count open mics.
I don't think I've done a dozen shows.
No, you've probably done like four shows.
No, I've done more than four shows.
Yeah.
Somewhere between four and a dozen shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not quite a baker's dozen. A baker's dozen is 13.
Yeah.
Rob.
The most infuriating part of that is that she is as far along in her stand-up career as you and I.
She really is. I don't know. I booked some shows this year. That counts.
Yeah.
I made big declarations on the podcast that I was like, you know what? I'm taking a step back. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, I have dates. You guys want to hear my dates?
No, what's infuriating about Liz doing stand-up, I started, I think, the same year as Liz, when we were like first playing around with it. And we both did a show for people who had never done stand-up before. And Liz did it before me. And when I went to do the show, the host of the show said, after I'd done my set, was just like, yeah, Liz Gloss was the best one to ever do this show. She's just a natural. He goes, start going off and like that's a funny lady.
Was that
my God.
Was that Luther?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I paid him to say that.
I was like, brutal. This is brutal. I'm going to find this Liz Gloss.
Chris Luther, that was a great show that he did.
It was a great show.
Cherry Poppin' Standees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No longer a thing. I think he lives in like Connecticut now or something.
Yeah,
Connecticut has great comedy. Where I'm from.
Yeah, is he doing comedy? Do you talk to him?
No, I haven't talked to him in a while.
Oh, I don't know.
He's a really funny, lovely guy.
I don't know if you were friends with his wife, Angela.
Yeah, also.
Should I be doing this?
This is a very weird sidebar.
We don't have to.
Sidebar with something else, which is it weird that I remember the name of that stand-up show?
No, I remember the name of that stand-up show.
I remember it too.
I remember so many things that I when I bring them up to people, I feel their eyes in the back of my head, like it's uncomfortable that you remember that.
I have those moments too. Sometimes I pretend that I don't remember things just because I don't want
to. Yeah. Sometimes I'll pretend.
Meredith never pretends.
No, I do. That's the problem. Sometimes I'll pretend I don't remember things as deeply as I do. And so I'll like play it off as something less intense that I remember. And even that gets the stare. Like,
really?
Well, I'm glad I didn't say everything I remember about you.
My guess is that you don't.
What are you about to
do it right? You don't do it right.
Okay, what do I do?
Like, you remember things that are weird for you to remember, and then you pretend not to remember things that would hurt someone's feelings that you don't remember them.
No.
That would be my guess.
Why would it?
No. She'll meet somebody, and they'll be like, hi, you know, and she'll be like, oh, we've met before, and then recount, like,
every detail of their life. Yeah.
They had, and the person is like, yeah. Oh.
Chilling.
Yeah, well, it's just like, you know, Meredith just has like a memory that captures details like that. It's not that she like cared more about that exchange than you, but it does feel like she cared more about the exchange than you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal for me sometimes.
I've been there.
Yeah.
She'll describe people to me all the time. Like, we hung out with them 40 times.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt anyone. That's our balance.
Yeah.
Forget most people.
Yeah.
It takes like 10 times meeting someone to get their name. And
I'm
like,
better at it now. I mean, now I keep notes.
Oh.
This is a secret I've realized that successful people do, which is you really should just write down little info. Mm-hmm. To that extent, as an experiment, I had a conversation with the manager at this restaurant, and then she said her name, you know, and I just wrote it down. And when I came back to the restaurant, I called her by name. She definitely didn't even remember me, but I just said, hey, you know, how you doing? And she gave us free drinks.
Nice.
I was with, I think, Andrew, and it was at Tu Madre.
Thanks for using those free drinks on me.
And when I say free drinks, I want to be clear, these are like sodas.
Sprite.
But it was like a good, like, like, you know.
It just pays off.
Those little details, if you can remember them, can, like, you know, have an impact.
I feel insecure about remembering things me like too. That. Like when I meet somebody, like if that situation, then I would go back to a restaurant and I remember the person's name. I feel insecure even like showing up again for some reason. What is that?
Well, I'll tell you why I got over it.
Why?
Because that's literally sales training. Like sales training is take as many notes about this person as you can, because the way you end up making somebody very comfortable around you and like you
takes like seven times or something like that before somebody's comfortable.
Details about you that connect us in a strong way, you know.
Yeah.
Especially something that like, you know, is personal.
And yeah. Like, oh, interesting.
You know, loves blank, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that there's like, it's a weird dichotomy of cool is not remembering anything, right? Like it's very cool to be like, oh, I'm not even paying attention or whatever. But it's charming to remember lots of things.
Yes.
So existing somewhere in the in-between, I think, is hard. And I definitely don't know how, I don't know if I can pull off charming all the time.
The coolest thing you can do is be yourself.
Oh, God.
End of podcast. Pack up the show. Oh, that's the message.
The coolest thing you can do is be yourself.
Get this mystery guest off the show.
Oh, Susan Messing in Chicago remembered me 2 years after we had a 10-minute conversation. I was like walking up to a theater in New York, and I saw her talking, and she went, stop.
Yeah.
And like ran up to me and looked at me and went, Eric.
That's crazy.
We had literally talked
in a... She probably does the Mind Palace.
I don't know,
the Mind Palace?
No.
What's the Mind Palace?
Mind Palace is like people have these master memories. They practice the Mind Palace, and that is that you put people inside a house that you're building. And so you literally can, like, in your mind, walk down, like, okay, I go up the stairs. I know, like, there's somewhere near the bathroom or something. And then you go towards the bathroom in your mind, and, you know, along the wall there is something that you...
I actually think I met somebody who did the Mind Palace, and she explained it to me, and it seemed insane.
It sounds insane, yeah. But people I know who've used it, who do use it, do have like incredible.
But I don't think it's for all kinds of thinkers. Like I think it's for people who are
very visual, probably.
Yeah.
I would forget what I built in my Mind Palace.
Yeah, definitely. It's like there's a mirror there.
Yeah, or I'd walk up to the person and be like, Mind Palace.
Or you go into your Mind Palace and realize you've walked into the wrong palace. Like it's all
somebody
people
else's
with
palace.
Different names.
Mind Palace.
Oh, I don't see how that's helpful.
I don't either.
If
that's
you're a
why
visual
I don't use it, but
person.
I've seen people who have amazing memories.
Wow.
Who'd use it for sure. So yeah. It's a technique.
The only problem with it is that when you're doing it, like mentally you're putting someone in the Mind Palace, you have to scream the word Mind Palace as loud as you can.
Yeah.
So it can be a little bit of...
And mime, like, unlocking a door.
Let's introduce ourselves. Yeah. Hey, what's up? My name's Eric.
Hi, I'm Schlorbin.
What was it?
Schlorbin.
Schlorbin! Mind Palace! Yeah, it's good.
Now. I think you gotta get people to sign a lease to enter your Mind Palace.
Oh, that's nice. Fire. That's nice.
Yeah, sign the imaginary lease. That's I like that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
At this point, the person that you're meeting is like, who?
Yeah.
No, let's never hang out again. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. I don't know. I thought you could do the thing where you write their name on their forehead. When they're talking,
what is that?
I've like, if you say
I've
your name's Liz, I just picture LIZ appearing on your forehead.
Oh, I like that.
That's
helpful.
That seems also faster
than building a
room in your.
Yeah.
Well, I do the repeat their name as many times as possible. Do you guys do that?
I just forget.
Oh. Yeah,
I just forget names.
Even if I repeat.
But I like sometimes I will not know who a person is, but then as soon as they say their name, then I'm like, oh, I remember 20 things about you. Like maybe I don't remember your face, or maybe I do remember your face, but I don't remember your name, but I remember other things about you. Like it's not all, it's not always I remember everything. And there's plenty of people and things that I forget, and I'm not trying to make any of those people feel bad, but it's like, it's just the intensity with which I remember some things is too much and unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Like I did a show with a girl who I'd met at an open mic 3 years before and then never again. And I remembered meeting her at the open mic and I didn't remember her name, but when I saw she was on the list of the show, I was like, oh yeah, I remember her from that open mic. And when I saw her, I couldn't be like, hey, we did an open mic together 3 years ago. We talked for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, I can be like, oh yeah, I think we met before. I tried that.
Yeah, I do the, sometimes when I 100% know where I met someone, but it's that situation, I go, you look familiar.
Yeah. But I think there is a version, I just wonder if it's a power dynamic thing. Of like, if I were to go up and be like, hey, Raina, right? Like, does that make me seem fake? Does that make me seem, I'm like in my head about
I think a certain personality.
People always like it.
Sometimes a certain personality can pull it off. Like a certain very charming personality. It doesn't work with everybody.
Yeah, but I would argue at least 75% of people will appreciate it.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's people like hearing their name. Mm. They like being remembered. It's an ego boost always. Mm. You know, that you were memorable to somebody.
I think I will, if I think it's their name, I will go, hey, I'm so sorry, man. It's blank, right?
Yeah.
And just do that.
Right, they feel good.
Yeah, and if you get it wrong, be like, I'm sorry, man. Just remind me and I've got it. I'm tattooing it in my mind right now.
Yeah.
Just make a little joke. The other thing I'll do is I will use Liz.
Right. So, you got it. That's
so
a good
move. So if I'm meeting you, I go, hey, what's going on? Have you met my wife, Liz? This is Liz.
Yeah.
Pause. Hi, I'm Liz. Say their name.
And then
it's a little obvious sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's a good move.
It's obvious to you because I've done it like 20 times. Yeah. But I don't know.
It's also classy. Like, I think it's.
It is classy.
To do stuff like that because the other person, even if they know, they're like, you're doing this tactfully.
Right.
You're not pretending.
Totally.
Like, you remember my name and whatever. Like, but you're not doing it in a way that makes me feel bad or like you're trying to one-up me.
I'm not going, this is my wife. Her name is Liz. And your name is Schlorben.
There needs to be like, you got to do it sooner rather than later if you forget somebody's name, because then you get to a point where too much time has passed and then it's like, oh, I can't not know this person's name.
I thought of a way to make up messing up somebody's name. Okay. So if I don't remember your name, watch this. Like, Jill, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh.
I don't know why she ruined it. Try it with me.
No, because then it would be funny if then you thought my name was Jill and you called me Jill forever. And I just let people, that'd be fun for me.
My mom does.
Jill, I'm going to see Rob.
But I had a thing I was going to do.
I want to see
Rob. No, I know what you're going to do.
I want to see Rob.
What was I going to do?
I want to see Rob.
You're going to go, I would go, no, my name's Liz. Oh, that's right, Liz.
No.
I want to see.
Okay, do the thing.
Do it to me. I'll play.
Hey, Steve.
Yep.
Hey, Jackie.
I'm your wife, Rob. You don't know my name.
I know. I feel bad. Now it's been three times.
Okay.
Victoria.
No, it's Liz.
Oh, sorry. You know what it is? You look exactly like my friend. She's a supermodel. Her name is Victoria.
Oh, I'm just kidding. My name is Victoria.
Oh, wow.
That's disgusting.
You really do that?
Never do that. That's the worst. If you ever said that to anyone.
Try mess up a name and recover.
Hey, sorry, you go to me or?
Henry, right?
No, it's Eric.
Cool. I didn't have a thing prepared. Why am I doing it?
I'll try one.
I'll try one.
Yeah. Hey, Schlorben, right?
No, it's Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. That's I feel so bad. It's a dark time for me.
Oh,
but
sorry,
you
man.
Said it's Schlorben.
Yeah, Schlorben.
Okay, no. Cool.
Yeah, so it's like you get him to feel bad. I'll try that method too. Oh, all right, God. I'll try one with you.
Oh, you do with me.
Hey, Carol, right?
No, it's Meredith.
Oh my God! You know it's the fucking when I was a nom. A chunk of my brain blown out.
What Liz did is the best thing. What Liz did is the correct thing.
What?
Which is, if someone messes up your name, you say yes. And you let them call you that for the rest of your life. And then you in your head are like, I'm playing a prank on them. And that's the best thing you can do.
It's fun.
It's wrong. It's wrong. It's cruel. What you did is cruel.
All right, let's do that. It's been 30 years. Uh-huh. And hey, Jill. I just want to let you know I'm dying next week and you're in my will.
Okay.
Under Jill Weinberg, like you told me. And
ring, ring. Hello, court. I'd like to change my name.
Change your name for $50?
What if it's a more emotional thing? What if like that you give that person the wrong name, you confirm the wrong name, and then you fall in love, they leave their wife for you? They're like, whoa, they're like, Jill, I don't love Rebecca anymore. I want to be with you. I'll leave her tomorrow if we can start a life.
Then I say,
you ghost if they can't find you.
I go, my name is actually Liz, but I went by Jill growing up.
Because you're so used to being called Jill at this point, and you've fallen in love that you accept. Why wouldn't you just accept being called Jill at that point? You're in love.
What you have to do is, like, if you do that and somebody's like, yeah, it's you, it's the wrong name, and then you start to, like, enjoy a conversation, mm-hmm. you have to then, you can't go that much further.
No.
You have to correct it. So you have, like, 20 seconds to correct it. Otherwise, you're fucked.
My mom has been called Meredith by at least 5 pivotal people in her life for the last 10 years. And Meredith is my name and not her name. But they don't know that. And she just allows them to call her Meredith.
It's at least close, though. It's Mare.
Yeah.
It's Mare.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah. Does your mom go by Mare or Meryl?
No, Meryl.
But what does she go by anything for
short? What's her social security number?
What's her mother's maiden name?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Come on. First names are fine.
No, she goes by Meryl.
Yeah.
Or Mama. Mama Hackman.
Does she really go by Mama Hackman?
So a lot of people do.
Do you guys want the TikTok ban?
Yes.
I'm
against it. I'm against it, but I also think it's like it would definitely be better for people.
It'll be better for my mental health.
I would,
sure.
I think they should ban it for people under the age of 16. That's actually what I think they should do.
I think they should ban it for people under 50.
No. I would have it banned so that people don't tell me that I have to do it for my comedy.
Mm-hmm. They should, they could just ban people saying that.
That would be nice.
If TikTok does this, but if you say, you know, you really for your stand up, a laser
for any business,
should fucking shoot through you.
I'm sure every business person at this point is being told they have to.
Yeah.
I feel like TikTok has affected the way comedy is existing. Yes. More than just the business. But like even people doing it. Like there's so many people that saw it on TikTok and go up and only do crowd work.
Yeah.
Or people in the audience that think up there.
You're helping by yelling something out. Yeah, and heckling. Yeah.
It's happening so much now.
Ugh.
It makes people so dumb. It makes people dumb. It gives them a short attention span.
It affects stand-up comedy.
It makes you react. It makes you think that everybody thinks the way that you do, which is not reality. Mm. It's just like the fact that people can exist on different we'll see it sometimes where I'm like, have you seen this thing about whatever? And she's like, no, I'm watching, I'm watching nothing but the exact opposite. And it's like, it's so like hurts the way people communicate. And also, you know, that in China, it's completely different.
Yeah. Like, they have their own, like they control the algorithm.
Well, they limit kids usage of it. And it's like very like patriotic stuff or science stuff, or like it's making their kids smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of communal like helping. Yeah. Also, like they like a lot of the popular videos are people like assisting, like elderly,
and
things like
that. And then the rest of the world gets the one that makes your brain. No,
the
rot.
Rest of the world, it's like fucking Brad Stoll shoving a piece of charcoal up his ass for the Santa challenge.
Yeah. Oh man, he's the Santa challenge.
How often is Brad Stoll mentioned on your podcast?
I thought you were saying how often is Brad Stoll shoving charcoal up his ass nowadays? When you said, can I just reverse? When you said, do you guys want the TikTok ban? I thought you were asking Eric if you were allowed to say something that would get this podcast banned on TikTok.
Yeah.
I like forgot that it was a new story for a second.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, this conversation would probably get this.
Oh, no, I just have to mention
China.
Tiananmen Square.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What did you think about Tiananmen Square?
Okay.
Let's go around. Let's do a quick round the horn on TS.
I'm watching a documentary on Netflix. Although they shut down, I've been sharing my sister's Netflix, and they came for us.
Oh, they cracked down on the password sharing.
It's crazy.
It's not that crazy. You've been stealing it. And they said we're not going to let you steal it anymore.
Not stealing if she shares
it.
Yeah. It's crazy. I've been living in this guy's house for a month. He fucking came home. Completely
but
reasonable.
But I was watching a great documentary on the Cold War. Uh-huh. And it was about like all the stuff that like led to it. And it is like crazy to imagine in our world that like I can't picture us actually coming after landlords, but they like really did that in like
Russia and China. We came after landowners.
Wow.
Funnily enough, I was telling Liz about a business idea I have to protect landlords.
It's
called Stop the Squat.
Stop the Squat.
Okay, what do you do? Oh,
check out squatters. Mind you, Eric got his start in New York squatting.
Yeah, oh, my God, Eric.
That's different. That's different.
It's like Christian values are
It's very different.
Rules for thee, not for me.
No, she basically called me a hypocrite, and it almost ruined dinner because I got my feelings very hurt. And then she had to entertain this idea, which the more I talked about.
Many holes in his idea.
But the idea is like if somebody's – look, here's the thing. Yes, landlords are generally speaking, they're, you know, not the best. But like,
I don't think it's that landlords are like bad people. Inherently. It's just like inherently a flawed thing to allow people to control a limited resource. I mean, there's just, you know, and then there's.
But what do you mean by that? Like, we shouldn't be able to own land?
I think that, like,
homes than you can live in.
Yeah. I mean, the big issue seems to be...
Wait, so you can't have two homes?
You can have two homes. You can have homes on two places that you live. But, like, when you have multiple homes solely for the purpose of...
Renting them out.
Of profiting, you will never live in those homes.
Well, the real issue was not... The issue was never a landlord who was, like, a mom-and-pop landlord.
Yeah.
Like, right. That was never the... The issue is that then... Wall Street, there's like two major companies that are basically just rental property companies. And what they've done is corner the market by literally buying houses, not selling them to people. And then they've worked the numbers to be like, well, if we buy enough property in this area, we can raise rents by X amount and we make a profit even without selling the property. Just by making it so nobody else can buy it.
Yeah, it's inflated value.
Supply and demand. Yeah. You take all the supply off the market.
Like,
and
it's like everything that has happened with us. It's just we've gotten to a place where anything that is a good idea, helpful to people, you know, a computer system that allows your pizza place to take your order without you calling in is great. But then it becomes, you know, monopolized by a corporation. Mm. And all of a sudden that pizza place... it costs an extra $10 for you to order a pizza from them because they have fees that they owe to this company.
Then they're not hiring people to work at pizza places anymore because there are too many computer systems running everything.
They got the little robots. Is that only in LA that we have the robots? There must be other.
I think the other places have the robots.
I think there's other reasons too. Like I was reading about Taco Bell just stopped doing dine-in service because they're getting robbed too much. So now they just lock the front doors and you can only do drive-through.
Well, a lot of places don't take cash anymore because they don't want to get robbed. It's credit card or like
it's
Apple
still
Pay
dangerous
only.
If like people are coming in with guns not knowing that. Like,
yeah, but that people will.
Also, you got to worry about the cheese.
Can I rewind back to how Rob was sent out to buy a microphone and now we're sharing a microphone and you're just at Guitar Center for 30 minutes?
You could also... If you wanted to rob somebody at Taco Bell, you could just rob them at the drive-thru. Yeah, I don't want to engage in your question. You could just, when they open the door for the payment, you just go, extra chalupa, and you just fucking, I got you. Yeah. Get it.
Yeah.
Well, tell somebody else to get it. You
it
stay.
It does make me like, it is like, I don't understand. So criminals now are, the craziest thing is that like now criminals are getting access to technology that helps them commit crimes because there's always this thought where it's like, oh, now we'll get rid of cash. So it'll be easier for this. It's like, yeah, but now they're getting much better at placing I forget what it's called. It's called place a fake thing over a credit card thing.
Yeah.
So it's actually reading your credit card info and then whatever. But then there's a new thing where they can literally block your Wi-Fi. So if you have a Ring camera or something, they can turn off the access to it and then just come into your house.
Oh, damn.
Which is like an added benefit because now everybody thinks their house is secure.
Yeah.
But it's not because they know how to. That is true. Like people, if you have a home security system, you shouldn't put that like this home protected by blah, blah, blah system because somebody knows how to hack into that system and then disable it and break into your home.
I think the most.
Sorry, this is her stress.
I don't like scams. It's true, you don't.
Flim flams.
Being taken advantage of. I don't like an imbalance. Like good old fashioned fighting, you know, it's not good,
But at least, like, both people are fighting.
You'd rather get mugged
with
a gun.
You want a fair fight.
I'm not trying to get mugged with a gun.
You'd rather get stabbed than have somebody abuse your conscience.
Well, that's what... All right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
In all fairness, that's what Stop the Squat is about. Because it's taking that mom and pop rent guys that they're renting out their house, and then somebody decides to, like, squat, and they're going to take it.
But is that mom and pop? Because the only way those squatters
mom and pop
is because it's a property no one visits. Like, it's like a property that's controlled by a real estate conglomerate where somebody visits it once a month, and then a squatter is like, nobody's here. Like, a mom and pop is someone who owns additional house, rents it out for a moderate price, just looking for a reasonable tenant. Like,
and then somebody
living in Brooklyn, we had a really good rent. And it was because it was just owned by this old Hungarian woman who was just like, as long as you are like polite, reasonable, and I don't have to stress about it, I'm happy to charge you like median price rent, basically. And I think that that's like.
What if you had stopped paying your rent?
If I'd
stopped. What is that old Hungarian woman? What can she do?
Evict him.
Where does she go?
I don't know the rules on that.
I know the rules.
Yeah.
You call up
1-800 stop the squat.
Yeah.
And they kick you out in a legal way.
That's too many numbers.
Here's what they do. They wait till you go to work.
Like so
they get a moving truck.
But
they
that's against the law.
They get all your shit, they just put it in the moving truck. Okay. And then two big dudes, like, you know, fucking Hawaiian guys, like 6'7", like The Rock, just stand outside of your house now. You changed all the locks. You had a locksmith at the ready. This is all Stop the Squat organizes all of this for you.
Yeah, of course.
And then there's these two guys and a lawyer waiting when they come home.
So you have two guys who are like built bodyguards, basically.
Body. Well, you have someone
who like probably gets paid to do security.
And one of them has a lawyer. You have guys
in a moving van that's disguised as something else with microphones.
Yeah.
And the second the squatter leaves for work, they go.
Seems like a lot of overhead.
They go. We're in.
Yeah.
And then they break into your house that the person's not paying for.
Since the squatter's already left, do they really need to use the microphones? Doesn't it feel like you could just open the door and be like,
You know what? I take it back. They just turn to each other and they go, "We're in." Yeah. And then they go in.
Yeah.
And then they get everybody. They get all the shit out.
And this lawyer. I mean, lawyers are notoriously cheap, so you're just paying this guy like
he's on retainer to just stand in front of a house and say
super cheap retainer.
Say I'm all lawyers clearing $250K a year easy.
So how much does it cost to have these guys do this?
Eric's idea was 40%.
40%.
I said 40% of what?
No. So in the state you're in, how long can this person possibly stay with continuances in court and stuff like that? If it's in California, it's 10 years or whatever. You just go 40% of that.
It can't be
10 years. It's insane. And whatever it is, you get 40% of the maximum time they could stay goes to Stop the Squat. But this is the best part.
How can the landlord pay you if they're not collecting rent? The mom and pop landlords aren't collecting rent on the property. So how do they have 40% of 10 years worth of rent to give you?
See, the real trick is they can't. And that's when you do the same thing to their
Now we've talked that. We also have a sister business.
Okay.
Where you kill kill your landlord. And if you're smart, you get a double hire at the same time.
When you first told me this idea at dinner last night and you said stop the squat, my thought went to women squatting over public toilets and getting urine all over the toilet.
That I can get behind.
Like, that is a good idea, a little device.
Squat is definitely taking a shit or
a delicate lady pee.
I thought it was a device to help ladies not pee all over the seat.
That's something that we can consider.
Women do not have delicate pee.
Not at all.
Way more violent than men pee.
It's like a funnel thing.
Yeah,
you'd have to like put and then it
like spurts out like a throat slit in the 80s.
Like a man could pee almost like what do we call it? Like a Navy SEAL could piss while he's like outside the like Osama bin Laden's place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but like a woman could.
It's a whole
that.
Production for women.
You guys,
I can do that.
You guys have like a whole thing.
I'm saying.
Oh, too loud.
Where they get Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
You weren't saying after they've already gotten.
Yeah, so if a guy needs to go in, you're about to go
in. Well, it's just two. You got to pull down your pants. You got to move them out of the way. You got to do the squat all the way back.
If a guy's peeing outside, but he needs it to be quiet, you can aim the pee into like the dirt.
Yes.
When you guys pee, it's like throwing a water balloon against the ground.
We have to aim our whole. Like lower bodies where we want it to go, and then even then it's not perfect.
You have to fully lay down on your stomach.
Did we ever tell you about? Maybe I have told them already, but we like evaded the mob God. When I was peeing. What?
We do have a crazy story, which is like we still
no.
We pull
the
in.
Mob.
No, we're driving back from the east side, basically. Yeah. Whatever. We're driving back from a far place, like Orange County ish, and we Meredith had to go to the bathroom really bad.
An alcoholic beverage.
So she had to go to the bathroom really bad with her parents too. And finally she was like, I can't take it. I was like, fine, let me just pull off here. It's a bunch of, it really did look like where the Ninja Turtles would fight the foot. It was like a bunch of abandoned warehouses. But it was also felt really secure to pee in. So we pull up. I just pull up over to the side. I'm like, Mary, just get out, pee.
I get out and there's a security camera. I say, can we move up a little bit so I'm not peeing right in front of the security camera?
Very minimal compared to what happened.
Great.
She starts peeing.
And I squat behind the car, between like the building and the car. So she's completely hidden.
And we're sitting there.
My parents are in the back seat. I'm having a whole conversation, a lovely conversation. Yeah, we'll have a great pee. Delicate lady pee.
It's almost done. And to my left, this gate opens, just like in the movies, like as it's opening, I'm talking like four or five, like with machine gun guards.
What? Machine guns? Yes.
Like are like standing, like, I mean, real like movie style, like they had like, you know, vests on and stuff. And then there's two like black SUVs and it's like opening up right next to the car. I'm like looking at it like. And I just go, Meredith, get in the car.
Oh my God.
And I am such a good wife. I didn't ask any questions. I go, I know that sound. And I immediately stopped my pee midstream. I was like, I'm an amazing person. I stopped my pee midstream. I pull out my pants. I get in the car, no questions. And we speed off. My parents are in the back seat.
I was like,
so what happened? Like, why do we have to go?
Like, I still, to this day, I assume it must have been some government operation. I mean, they were so, like, cartoonishly militarized.
I'm actually a little afraid to talk about it on the pod in case they find us.
We weren't doing anything wrong.
We really have zero idea. My legitimate guess I assume there's some government organization that operates out of that warehouse or something. And then we were just, like, parked right in front of them. And they were like, what the fuck is this? Shady ass car,
Or is it a drug cartel or something?
Yeah, something.
Maybe. I mean,
yeah, but I don't
you're
know.
On, like, you're on somebody's turf. They had
machine guns and vests.
Like they looked like they were a security.
Holy shit!
Probably not cartel.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh.
And they would have been. Yeah, I would assume a cartel would try and be a little
more discreet,
less conspicuous. These guys were like they look like military.
Did they give you a chase?
No, I think they saw us drive off, and who knows? It may have just been a total coincidence. Like they were about to leave.
And they saw our suburban looking ass car. But it felt to me like soccer mom car.
The coincidence was so crazy. I assume they saw us.
That's terrible. Yeah, they came out to be like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
I wonder if we could, if there was a camera just watching it, we could go back and you guys peel out and it's 15-year-olds like ready to do paintball.
Yeah, it was just a paintball warehouse.
Hey, was that girl peeing? That's fucking funny.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's probably.
It probably is. You go back and Google Downey Paintball.
Where was it?
We don't know.
I mean, it's like East Side LA. Like,
I literally was just like, downtown, I need to go right
downtown
now.
Downtown LA.
I need to pee. And I like peeing al fresco.
You do?
It is something that I in my adult life,
I love peeing outside.
Yeah, it's great.
That's great.
Remember that time?
It makes me feel vulnerable.
Remember that time you had to pee on the way to the cruise for your...
For my bachelorette? Yeah.
That was wild.
I had to pee behind a gas station and like, where were we?
We were on the way to...
We were on the way to Long Beach.
Yeah, where the ship took off from.
Yeah.
And Liz was like, you were fighting it.
I was fighting it.
And I was like, you can't fight it. You just
at the beginning of a trip, you get a fucking urinary tract.
Yeah.
You just have to pee.
When I was 11, we went to, my family took a vacation to London and I had to pee real bad. We were on the tube and we were going to the Tower of London, and we were seeing the closing of the gates at the Tower of London. They do like the ceremony and they show you how they lock it up and whatever. And you have the like beef eaters there and they do this whole thing, whatever. So I was on the tube. I had to pee. My parents are like, we get off, we'll go use the bathroom in the Tower of London. Like, we're going to be there in 10 minutes. We get there. They were like, oh no, you can't use the restrooms here. They're closed for the night. And then they're like, but there's a McDonald's over there. It was like 8:30. We would go to the McDonald's. The McDonald's was closed at like 8:30. There was a guy like sweeping up. I was like crying. I was a kid. Yeah. My brother took me and there was like, can she please use the bathroom? They were like, no. And then I peed behind like it at there. I peed on the street in like a construction site. I just like snuck into a construction site, peed, felt immediately better. Years later, returned to the Tower of London. And I was like, I gotta see what they were building where I peed. I wonder what they were building on that construction site. It was a Starbucks.
Oh, it was a Starbucks. Princess Diana's tomb.
Oh my God. Yeah. You step in the exact spot and it's Elton John appears with the piano. Yeah, that's God. That's beautiful.
Yep. Goodbye, yellow brick road. It's
forever. Memorialized in that Starbucks.
I loved London. Really,
you did.
I really want to go back.
London's amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah. You've never been. You went once as like a layover.
Yeah, I was in the airport. I thought it kind of sucked.
You didn't care for Heathrow.
You didn't like the airport.
I did not like the airport.
Yeah.
Thought the airport kind of
sucked. Where I first fell in love with predatory birds, to circle back around.
Oh, really?
For our honeymoon, we went to this place called... The Hawk Conservancy.
Hawk Conservancy.
Oh.
And they have this amazing thing where like they have you stand like a tree and owls can fly between you.
Woo.
Yeah, it's really between interactive. You. They have like tons of like
and we got to fly hawks and be like falconers.
Cool.
And they have a cheap membership, so all the pensioners, which is what they call the old people in London, all like retirees get this membership. Because it's cheaper than like a country club, and they all just hang out and like play cards in like the cafeteria. So the cafeteria has really good food.
Yeah,
because it's like consistently full of these old people eating lunch.
Huh. And they're all rescue birds because a lot of predatory birds are like dying out. And like I've told you my vulture story.
No,
that vultures are going extinct because they're the narcs of the animal kingdom. And so for a while, whatever the cops who catch poachers are called, were following vultures because the vultures would go follow the poachers.
But they also narc the carcasses. They also narc on like drug people too.
They do.
They just narc on everything.
They're literal. Oh, yeah. They're literal narcs.
Invite them to a party snitching. With some underage kids. Watch out. They'll wear their backwards hat. But so the poachers were poisoning the carcasses so that
the vultures would die.
And so that nobody could find them. And so a bunch of vultures ended up dying and they're on like a watch list.
Oh my God.
So this place is one of the places that helps like fund like
the vultures. Wow.
Mira got adopted one for her birthday.
Aww. I did. Yeah. Well, Rob adopted one for
her. Did you get to name it?
No,
it already had a name.
It had a name.
What was its name?
It's like Sir, it's like a Greek. It's like.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like.
Circeus.
Aww. If you met the vulture, you would have to do one of your name tricks.
Yeah.
Put up in your mind palace.
Yeah. Where is the vulture in the mind palace?
He's definitely in like, it's got to be in the basement.
He's in the aviary.
It's a palace. You get to build an aviary.
Wait, put him in the fucking basement?
That's right. Jesus.
Oh my God.
If you ask a vulture if he's a narc three times.
The
third time he has to go, yup.
Well, we found out because we went to another bird thing last year. We found out that there are birds that people adopt as pets that are as loud as a 747. And people don't know that before they adopt them.
Yeah, people are apparently like there's a large contingent of very stupid people who buy animals without understanding what they can. It's entails. Like mind blowing how many times that happens.
Wolf dogs.
Oh, people get dogs? People get wolf dogs. Yeah.
Wolf dogs.
Like, I can't control them. It's like
I don't know what a wolf dog.
Half wolf, half dog.
My grandmother had a dog that she said was half German Shepherd. Half German Shepherd, half wolf.
Whoa. Do you remember that story? Is like the '90s when a guy in the Bronx had the lion and the
crocodile in his apartment.
I vaguely remember that, hearing about that.
They caught him because he went to the hospital and said he had been stabbed. And the doctors are like, okay. And they're like, you know, very clearly like giant claw marks.
Oh, my God.
He's like, oh, you got stabbed like consecutively like four times by, you know, in the same exact area.
He was trying to stick up for the animals, though.
Yeah, he loved his animals.
He loved his eating.
He didn't want his animals taken.
But they tried to eat him. There's a great photo. They had to like break through the window on the outside.
Oh my God! Having a lion in the Bronx, that's crazy.
They saved them. They put them somewhere.
Yeah.
They're living on a nice big farm upstate.
Definitely.
They probably drowned him in the Hudson River in a big iron cage.
Yeah.
That's what they used to do to pit bulls, which sucks.
Oh, no. That's so sad.
Yeah, I read about it in my book, Pitbull, right over there.
I saw the Pitbull book, and I assumed it was a memoir written by Pitbull.
It's worldwide.
It's got a big dog on the front of it.
I didn't see that part. I just on the side, it said Pitbull, where the cover should have been. And I was very confused. And I saw the cover, and I was like, don't say this out loud, Meredith.
You waited until there was a microphone in front of you. It's a very good book. It's I couldn't finish it. At the end, two-thirds of the way through, you're like, I get it. They're misunderstood. I don't need any more stories of pit bulls being drowned in the
River.
Yeah, people used to be pretty rough with those dogs. So they used to...
Yeah, not anymore. They're always treated well now.
They're treated better now.
There are a lot of...
There's definitely a lot more, what do you say, counter-narratives.
There's a guy in South Central who just got killed by his pit bull last week or something.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Because he was not treating him well.
We don't know. That's the problem. But the thing is, apparently he was like breeding them.
Right.
So he had like 13 pit bulls in his two bedroom house.
Sounds
like he was treating them great.
Yikes.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't killed by just one. He was probably killed by a pack of them.
No, he was killed by one. They just said one. It nicked his artery in his leg.
Yeah.
Clamped on his leg. But
yikes. Hit that femoral artery. Is that what it's called?
The pit bulls are just so sensitive and smart, and they just need a lot of extra care and love.
They need a lot of...
They just love people.
They're meant to have a big old farm to run.
I like them so much. Whenever I see a pit bull... I mean, Gordon...
They're fierce monsters. They shouldn't be kept by humans.
Your dog has changed my life.
Aww.
I bonded so hard with Gordon. He took such good emotional care of me when I needed him the most. Aww. And now whenever I see a pit bull, my heart is warmed. And I want to snuggle them.
We would never get a pit bull. We don't like dealing with the stigma, though.
I don't say we.
You want a pit bull?
I have discussed I would be open to a pit bull. And
It's also a good feeling when you see somebody change their mind when they meet your dog.
Yeah.
My dad was very against pit bulls.
I don't have fucking time for that.
tell your dad's story.
My dad was like very nervous when we got a pit bull. He
grew up in New York
City. He's like, that thing's going to eat you. And I have to worry about this thing attacking you in the middle of the night. You know, like they're going to snap, whatever. He believed all the things about pit bulls. He came to visit us in LA, and I was like, I left him a key. I was like, when you get in, can you walk the dog? He's going to need a walk. And he was like, well, this thing doesn't know me. He's going to eat me. How do I know this thing isn't going to eat me when I get in your house? He's going to attack. I was like, he's very sweet. He's not going to do that. My dad comes, he walks the dog. Gordon's a perfect little angel. 2 weeks later, he's calling me. He goes, you know, pit bulls, they get a bad rap. I don't know if you know this, but they got a bad rap. I was like, yeah.
it's what everybody knows, which is you move on from pit bulls and then it becomes, the next dog becomes the next killing dog. It's like, whatever the most powerful dog is mm-hmm. going to be the dog that bad owners mm-hmm. want. Sure.
I had a lady
going to take care of.
I had a lady at my job. I was on a Zoom call with her, and I mentioned I have a dog. She's like, oh, what kind of dog? It's like pit bull. And she goes, oh, is he vicious? And it's a sales job. So I just go, no, he's a sweetheart. I show her a photo. She goes, oh, let me show you my guy. Shows me a fucking Doberman. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You were the dog that everybody said was vicious before my guy. Yeah. You're supposed to be smarter than that.
Those are the evil dogs in Oliver.
Oh, yeah.
Dobermans are also bad in... what's the one with Charles Grodin? He's the family man. And they're Beethoven.
Oh, Beethoven.
Dobermans are bad, and Beethoven.
Yeah. I thought it was.
The Dobermans are great dogs. They really are. Wiener dogs bad, and Beethoven. Best dogs.
I don't.
Wiener dogs are bad. Why, are they? A real name that isn't.
I don't think any.
Dachshund.
Dachshund. Thank you.
Dachshunds are bad.
No, no, not as real dogs. But there's a movie where there's like a Beethoven-y dog,
and the Dachshund's the bad one.
Keep making him look like he's causing all the trouble, but it's the Dachshund's causing all the trouble.
Oh, but are they like talking with human voices?
No. Maybe.
Sounds like a human voice.
Yeah, the bad dog has always been Dobermans and
German Shepherds.
Rottweilers.
German Shepherds.
They get a bad rap.
Rottweilers.
Yeah, Rottweilers are traditionally bad dogs.
But Rottweilers, because they growl when they get excited.
Mm,
that's why they're used scary. As attack dogs in movies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know the tail wagging thing?
Sometimes when dogs, they have to be mean in movies, they'll be growling, but they're so excited to be acting and doing that their tail's wagging.
Sometimes they will
CGI out
their
tail wag to make them seem meaner.
But if you watch any old movies from like 80s, 90s with a bad dog, the tail's going crazy because they're happy.
That's great.
Very cute.
I mean,
they love killing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, either way.
I feel bad when I see an animal acting, but then I'm like, maybe it's the animal's dream.
How about the fucking husky in the
thing? In the thing. What a good
the
actor
greatest
dog.
Greatest actor dog.
The thing, the 1981?
Yeah, something like that.
82.
The thing. And that dog was incredible.
I'm not convinced that it was a real dog. I think maybe it was a puppet.
There's no way. It moved like a real dog. 1982, they couldn't have gotten
They couldn't have had a good puppeteer that can make that.
Only when it's like sitting still, but the like actual.
Well, the part where its face.
The part where it slowly lowers its head apprehensively. I was like, that's.
But the one where it slow walked into the cage with these dogs.
Yeah.
That you guys were all like.
I know, it was incredible acting. That's why I'm almost like, maybe it was a puppet. But
the part where his skin peeled back and he revealed himself to be the thing.
He was a Jim Carrey dog.
He was just a crazy. Yeah,
really that's his face changer.
That's his rubber face moment.
Yeah. But you guys still haven't seen Anatomy of a Fall.
He does a great
Pacino.
No. Messy, the dog.
Yes.
It's got a great ass.
Anatomy of a Fall has a similarly wonderful dog performance that I won't spoil for you, but I mean, it's not like the dog.
I do want to watch that movie.
Whatever. It's the dog isn't, there's no twist. I'm not spoiling something
like
with the dog.
Is that big
I feel
deal
like,
in that movie.
I just feel like you're like, that dog is a good actor. I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's not a spoil for me to be like, the dog is a good
there's,
actor.
There's famous dog actors, right? You got Bud,
Air Bud.
You got the
Homeward
Bound Dogs. You have Benji. Do you remember Benji?
You have Eddie from Frasier.
Eddie from Frasier.
You got Cujo.
Yeah.
You do have Cujo.
You got
Lassie, Geller,
White Fang.
White Fang. Then
we're just listing dogs right
now. Yeah. Well, actor dogs. And then what was the cop one? The K.
K nine.
No, it was
the one with Tom Hanks.
Hooch. Oh, that's a
Turner and Hooch.
Turner Hooch.
Yeah, at the end of the movie, they just.
Okay. All right.
What?
Seen it.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Boy, it's not a plot. Sad, I remember.
Yeah, they shoot the fucking dog in the chest.
What?
Yeah, they kill him.
Yeah.
They kill Hooch.
Oh, that wasn't the spoiler I thought you were going to say. That is the spoiler.
That is the spoiler.
I thought you were going to say. The movie gets like very sexy at one point. Do you remember that scene?
No.
You don't remember that Tom Hanks is the lady?
It's a solo Hanks sex scene where he...
I
thought it was the dog sex.
There's a sex scene in
there? He's like dating a lady in that. Who's the lady in that movie?
I don't remember.
No, Hooch accidentally. Hooch turns on the pay-per-view channel. And Tom Hanks pulls his pants down.
No, stop. Stop.
He's flaccid at first.
It's called Hooch.
Stop
it's
called, it. No.
It's Tom a sequel. Hanks. It's a sequel. Hooch is Cooches.
Tom
it's
Hanks
a great.
Rubbing his flaccid
cock. Oh, my God.
Hooch is Cooches.
My God.
Okay, Liz is very upset.
I wish
now.
I could
I'm very upset.
Right
for some reason, the dog having a sexy scene was less upsetting than Tom Hanks having a sexy scene, and that's why I pivoted, and I
good names.
You don't remember watching
good
it?
Good names for dog pornos. Here's mine. Rough Muff. Go.
Boned.
Nice.
Boned is solid.
Tails. Yeah.
I don't know. I got nothing. The worst.
Wiener dog.
Yeah, Dick Dixon.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, you guys can start the business. Yeah. Rob and I are out of the business. All right. Self-filtered. We're not going into the dog porn business. Thanks.
I do try and find what videos that Gordon likes. Not porn, obviously, but like going I did like show him. I did find a I did find some videos that he enjoyed.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, yeah. Thank you well, for clarifying that it's not.
He's asexual.
Crazy. He's not.
He's not.
No, he's non-binary.
No, 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 no.
He's non-binary.
No,
queer.
No, no, no.
Yes,
no,
he is, Eric. I know. Yes, he is.
Okay.
He's non-binary.
I know you're having fun right now, but I can tell you what he actually is. He fucks.
He just loves blondes. He loves male, female.
He did it at Runyon.
Blondes.
He fucking.
He likes feet.
Yeah, yeah.
He likes paws. He's got a paw fetish. Yeah.
Lotions, creams. Paw Patrol has a whole other meaning for him.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Why did that upset me?
Sick freak. He's a sick freak. Yeah. No, we were walking him in Runyon, and he saw a golden retriever, and she just turned over, and he hopped within 5 seconds.
And you said the owner was cool?
No, the owner wasn't. We weren't cool.
But we, you regret it.
We pulled him. We pulled him off, and we shouldn't have. Well, who
cock blocked your boy?
Who are we to cock block our dog?
Consensual dog. Yeah.
And then she got mad at me because I said we should have looked the other owner in the eye and been like, "I'm cool with it if you're cool with it." That's what I would if I could go.
I don't
back.
Think you have to say it that way. I'm cool with it. You're cool with it. No, you could go. You could go. You just go. Do you want me to pull him off her?
Sorry, I found the Turner and Hooch sex scene.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. There's the main characters. I remember watching this with you, and we're like, this is so out of place in this movie. Turner and Hooch. After the main characters fade to black, sex scene. Tom Hanks has nail scratches all over his back.
From Hooch?
I think from sex, from sex. The rough, wild sex.
Oh, well, good for Tom Hanks.
Anyway, it's a sexy fade to black, and like you turn around, and he has nails.
Who's the lady?
I can't remember.
Oh, wow.
All right, you're breaking the podcast.
I'm sorry. You, Liz, I can't believe you added yourself as holding your phone. Eric wasn't looking at you when you were Googling, and I didn't.
Oh, yeah. I don't take the rule seriously. Rules were meant to be broken.
Not this one.
You wanted me to find out who the lady was and turn her mute.
I was just,
Gordon did really well with the thing, which we got worried about when the dog stuff happened, but then we realized they were huskies and Gordon doesn't like, huskies, like huskies. And so he was fine with them.
As soon as they all
attacked.
Died, he fell right fine. Asleep.
He
was like, oh, that's better.
Gordon was like, oh, it's a happy movie. All the huskies died.
The heroes win.
Chalk went up against the huskies. He doesn't root for college football teams that have huskies as their mascot.
Really?
He doesn't like their pointy ears.
And their fluffy fur.
And the tude.
Yeah. The tude.
Yeah.
This is the first year.
And there's too many of them coming in our country.
Taking all his jobs.
This is the first year I didn't put UConn to go all the way on our bracket.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You're a Connecticut gal.
I'm a Connecticut gal. I have no real...
our bracket is fucked.
It is bad. Yeah. But
everybody's bracket is fine. It's a stupid thing.
We got a day. It was nice. We got a solid day and a half, I felt like.
Yeah.
We know people whose day one got totally busted.
I picked Oakland JMU in my Elite Eight. That's a 12 against the 14, and they're both open right now.
Yeah, but JMU is not making it.
JMU could make it.
I think I picked Oakland, and you made me change it.
James Madison, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Have you ever been to
campus?
Yeah, it's great. I should have gone there. Paradise. Probably should have gone there. If I could turn back time, but a nice one. I'd probably go to CNU. It'd be weird to turn back time. What does that change in you? If I go to a different college, I'm a different person.
I think end up in a mental hospital. I think everybody thinks they go back and they're like, I get to relive my life.
Nah,
and
it's
just
like crazy.
You just go nuts.
Do you remember the life you lived before? You can't remember the life you lived.
No, if you remember, you're
done.
No.
Then what's the point of going back? You're just reliving the exact same mistakes.
That's true. No, the only reason to go back is if you can remember and enjoy how different it is. But then you try to like meet up with, I'd be like, oh, I'll just date Liz later.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't work that way.
The
exact situation has to...
Well, in the what is that movie about? Time is the one that we
love. Yeah, we love
about
time.
I've seen that movie.
Oh, such a great movie.
I don't remember but
they,
it, but I've
but
seen
they're
it.
Like the millisecond you're off in your timing really is impacted if you're talking about a child because the difference.
Oh,
between
yeah,
one sperm
I
and
do remember that happening in the movie. So he comes back in time. He's a different kid.
Yeah. So you end up when he comes back and he has a different kid, and that's like the
you have to jizz at the exact
same
literally
moment.
Yeah.
That's you have to.
You can't jerk off one time more or less. Yeah.
If you're going to time travel back and you have kids, you are limited to the moment you come.
The moment you come.
Yeah, like you have to go right after. Yeah.
No, the lady probably also has to keep her pelvis in the same position.
There's no reason for you to.
Yeah, but if you don't meet the kid, it doesn't matter if you come or not.
No, you still remember the kid that you had. And you could never get that kid back because she's saying, don't do it
before you have a kid.
Don't go back in time before you had a kid.
He already knew his kid.
What did Liz say the other day that was crazy? You were like, when you're born as a woman, you have all the eggs you're going to have.
As a baby. Not even as a baby, as a fetus.
Is it you're born with them?
You're born with every egg in your body. No, and they develop when you're in utero. So your grandmother... When your grandmother was pregnant with your mother, the eggs that contained your genetic material were in your grandmother.
That's fucking crazy.
And so when she said that, she went, so in a way, I'm older than you.
Well, that was the thing. They did have a baby, an embryo that was like from 1960 something or something that they
that was frozen.
Yeah. That they had like, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, some crazy thing where it was like somebody ended up having
a frozen baby
that was technically like had, you know, been conceived in 19 something.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the plot of Brendan Fraser's Blast from the Past. It was an alternate version of the script.
Oh, really?
Where he comes out and
he's wearing the word blast.
He comes out in 1990 wearing a tweed suit and he's like, jump, jive. That's all it takes. He had 60s come.
What's the scene with the black woman in that? Where doesn't he like come out and he's like,
oh, my goodness, a black woman? Something like that.
She's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, because his area is now like the different part of the city or whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie.
I've seen it.
Did you like Blast from the Past?
I love Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser's great.
I was always
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone's in that.
Oh, now I know why you're.
Look, it's not as fun as The Whale, which is obviously his.
I've told this story, but not on your podcast. But I met her at Simple Studios.
Oh.
And I thought I knew her because I'd seen Clueless so many times. Like my brain was telling me we went to high school.
Yeah. Was she cool?
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
I met Simple Studios is a space we used to work in back in the day in New York, like a rehearsal studio. I met David Schwimmer, who was a very cool guy.
And then your brother had to hide in the room.
My brother had to hide because he got too emotional.
Aww.
You didn't know that?
Yeah.
I think I did know that, but I forgot.
He's like, can I go say hi to him? I was like, aww. No. You can't go.
You got too emotional. That's so sweet. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, but no, it's just my brother loves friends.
Yeah.
But there's things like that in our lives. Like when people are like, what a celebrity that if you met them, you'd react whatever way about. Like my answer isn't a good answer. My answer is the emotional truth answer. It's not like the one I'm most impressed by or like the one that I think is the best celebrity. Yeah. It's the one that like.
Idi Amin.
It's the one that like in an important part of my life was important.
Right.
And that's a good reference. I didn't get the reaction I wanted.
No.
Idi Amin.
Idi Amin did not. You want to sit?
No. Break it down for us. I know the name Idi Amin, but I don't know.
He's the Hitler of Africa.
Yeah. No, I knew what you were talking about, and I moved on.
African.
It kind of just sounded like you were muttering.
Yeah, sorry.
What country was he in?
I don't remember. I'm going to say something wrong, so I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad guy.
Black Hitler.
Ay-ay-ay. That's why I said ay-ay-ay and moved on with my story. Yeah. Now everyone thinks that I have an emotional connection to Idi Amin. This podcast never beat you here.
Put it on the list. Put it on the list for next time. Is Idi Amin still around? Is he alive or dead?
No.
I'm asking Meredith.
I do not. No, well, look. when I followed him on Insta.
I liked his early work. I don't know.
Joke about this. This is
Edie,
bad.
Edie and me and all. It's one of those things where like.
I'm talking so much about Edie and me.
Well,
because I moved on. I gotta Google this.
No Googling.
Talk more about that. It's like you don't even know enough to fill in the blanks about it. So now Eric's coming up with theory, and he doesn't know who this person is. Well, so he doesn't even know how bad it is.
I thought it was a lady.
Hitler, but that's not as funny anymore. It's been overused, so I went. It's more went with a more obscure
Putin.
I could have said Putin. Yeah,
Black Hitler's the funniest thing you could have said in that moment
because people don't know who Black Hitler died at his hands, and we don't understand the impact on those people. Because we don't understand the situation.
And they're all listening to podcasts.
When we say we don't understand,
what do you mean, their impact?
It's like,
who gives a
Rob, we were just on a thing where someone else, I don't want to say what happened, but someone else made a reference to a bad historical moment as a joke. And the people who that he said it to had experienced that historical moment.
We had a friend who made a joke about the Irish Civil War, basically. The Irish, you know, rebellion against the British. It was like two people from Ireland
and England, and they were like, "We cannot joke about this."
Yeah, very seriously, yeah.
And I think
was this in real life?
Yes, it
happened like a month ago, and that's why in this moment I'm like, if we don't understand the emotional impact,
it was really
on
funny
people,
though, and it made for good content. So,
But Meredith, this is the thing you say in that moment. You just go, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know."
Yeah, I'm so sorry, I upset you.
I didn't know. Like the people that are listening.
Trying to be funny here.
I can't even tell people when I remember them from an open mic years ago. You think I have the balls to like apologize to people when it's?
You never apologize.
You never apologize. You just go, Edie Amin, Black Hitler. I'm sorry.
We're big fans.
I didn't realize for those podcast hell listeners out there, you know, listening to us wherever Edie Amin's from are upset.
Oh, man.
It's like, it's a comedy podcast. No, people should understand that context.
You can make jokes about fucked up things that you understand. If you start making jokes about fucked up things you don't understand, then you're grasping.
Yeah. Or you're a comedian around.
Or you're a comedian fucking around talking shit.
Have a good time.
We're just talking some shit.
I don't like you guys having a good time.
That's true.
No kidding. That's exactly
true,
right. Yeah, that's...
This is a real Rwandan genocide of a podcast.
Hey, this has been a great podcast.
Oh man, Liz was waiting to pipe up to really support me.
You can find me at the Rob Stern on Instagram.
That was fucking well executed.
Classic Liz coming in with the jokes.
You just gotta,
just like the Hooties, Liz came in. guys, what does the timer say over there, Rob?
1:19.
Okay, we're good. Let's before we leave, I think it's a good time to tell everybody where we can.
Meredith's so mad.
It seemed like you read an announcement. Before we leave, there's one thing.
Before we leave,
I found my real dad.
I found my real dad. And I've been hired as a director. I'm doing Turner and Hooch 2, just the sex scenes. What's a horge?
You said horge.
I mispronounced.
Rob's all fired up with the conversation we just had. He's like, I'm gonna jump on horge.
Liz gets the laugh of the podcast.
Laugh of the cast.
Laugh of the cast. We should have an award or something. You know, here, just put.
Brand new microphone.
Fuck this microphone. Unsheat the sword, Meredith.
Unsheath and shit on your podcast.
Liz, hold the sword.
Hold the sword, Liz. Come on.
This is for laugh of the cast.
Thank you.
You get it. That's what the sword will be from now on.
Laugh of the cast.
Where can everybody hold with pride? We'll go down. Where can everybody find everybody?
Once again, that's at the Rob Stern everywhere.
I'm going to be at Meredith Hackman Comedy on Instagram. Also, follow my Substack. I send funny writing stuff that I'm doing. Meredith Hackman Comedy Substack.
I'm at Eric Helwig on all social media platforms.
I'm at Liz Galalis across all social media platforms. And I'd like to formally apologize for my...
Oh, no! Big ass sword! Give me the sword. Who had the second best laugh on the podcast?
Also Liz.
Who had the second best laugh? Oh my God. Apologies. The apologies. That's what they want.
Apologize for.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show, guys. It was fun.